Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Well, all right, welcome back.
Hello.
Shock Therapy Live.
Dude, it's good to be back. Back in the ABQ.
Pastor Nate Heitzig being a big old jerk with his brand new Angels hat that he got at the stadium last week when he dissed me and did not come in but went to a game instead.
Mm. And it fits
you
so
nice. You saw CJ win, though, right?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It was good, man. It was
all he does is win.
It was a fun game to go to.
Yeah.
Our seats were right on the third base line.
Ah!
We were about, like, probably 20 rows back.
Awesome.
Seth was stoked. It was the first. We've gone to a lot of Isotopes games before,
mm-hmm.
and we don't stay for the whole thing.
Okay.
You know, we last maybe six or seven innings, then we're out of there. But Seth stuck it through the whole time. We went through the whole game. It was a good time. We bought Seth a little Mike Trout jersey.
Nice!
It was fun.
Way to start him off.
Bought Janae a hat, too.
Okay. That's cool.
It was good, man.
I love that hat. Gosh! Now I need to talk to, like, Farley or somebody and go, hey bro, stadium exclusive, I need that the one with the wing,
dude. It's cool. Yeah, look at, check it out, inside says like limited edition on the inside and stuff.
You're just rubbing it in now. I was gonna get you something for tomorrow. No, I'm not taking it back. I'm just kidding. It is Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig, and Mateo, when he's done peeing, we'll be back.
Hey, if it'll make you feel better, I almost bought you one.
What?
So we bought these ones, and then afterwards we were sitting in the stands, and I was like, you know, I should get Steve-O one. He loves the Angels. So I was like, okay, after the game's over, I'll get him one.
There you go.
Little did I know, after the game, everybody goes to the Angels shop.
Ah, right.
So I walk into the Angels shop,
there's like
and there's a line.
People.
There's a line going from the register all the way through the shop to the very front doors.
It's like
I'm
a Disneyland ride.
Man, I love Steve-O, but I'm not waiting in that line.
At least you thought of me.
I didn't know.
Man.
This is the thing. I was like, because I didn't know what your favorite logo was either. I'm like, man, which if I was going to get him one, which logo would
That's
I get
tough.
Him?
I just love all the logos.
Yeah, it's hard.
I do miss. I had an old Angels when it was bought by Disney. I had an old jacket that was the actual like on the field jacket that had the baby blue sleeves and the. So for some reason, I'm always partial to that really terrible logo of the A with the wing.
I know that logo.
They didn't have that logo. You know the CA like
okay.
the one.
They didn't
right
have that. They didn't have
like
that logo
JT
either.
JT Snow was our first baseman.
Yeah, they didn't have that. They had the old school CA.
Yeah.
They had the little A with a halo. They had the
so
old school big A with a halo, and then they had the old school CA. CA with the wings.
Oh, so cool!
Yeah.
Mad at
you. Yeah. Sorry. What can
Welcome
I do?
To Shock Therapy Live. Sorry we weren't here last week, but instead we got to spend an hour during this segment talking to you.
Dude.
And talking about how Shock Therapy Live has helped or changed something in your life. It was really, really cool. And in the meantime, we got some questions, so I was really excited.
Awesome.
For this week's show.
If you we have like a lot to, of questions,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. If you'd like to chime in, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. You can tweet us. Just hashtag Shock Therapy Live. You can also anonymously send us an email to studio@MyStaticRadio.com. That's studio@MyStaticRadio.com. We already got like a handful of emails.
Yeah, but the best thing is to talk to you.
Yeah, so call our producer, Doug.
We'd like to talk to you.
Intern Doug would love to hear from you right now.
He's a Yankees fan, so he might cuss at you when you pick up the phone. But
big old jerk. No, it's really nice, which is really odd because normally you think Yankees fans, they like, he gave up his firstborn for that hat. Just for the hat.
Man.
I know.
Hey, Doug, guess
really
what?
Sad.
I've got a 1996 Yankees World Series hat signed by the entire Yankees team.
He was there.
Signed by the entire Yankees team.
Oh, every time he tells a story,
and I've
I just get mad.
And I've got a World Series home run ball signed by Reggie Jackson.
He does.
From 96.
He does. Thanks. Yeah. Was that Wetland because of Wetland?
Yeah, it was Wetland.
Gosh.
I got to sit on the team bus with the Yankees and drive back from from game.
Intern Doug is falling apart.
From game 7 with the Yankees, I got to drive on the team bus with them back to their hotel, and I sat next to Reggie Jackson, and I didn't know who he was because I'm a little kid. I'm like
your mom
six,
said he was
I'm like
a
I'm like
cusser.
7 years old, and he's just chilling on the bus, and I sit next to him. And I start talking to him, and I'm like, hi, my name's Nate. What's your name? He's like, my name's Reggie. Nice to meet you, Reggie. Where do you live? I live in California. Oh, that's cool. I live in Albuquerque. And I'm just talking to him, just like about random stuff. The next day, in the hotel lobby, there's a bunch of people around him trying to get autographs. And apparently he's kind of like a jerk. He doesn't give autographs. He's kind of like a mean guy.
Yeah.
But in the lobby, he sees me walking down. He's like, "Hey, Nathan, I got something for you." And he comes over and gives me a ball that was a home run ball the last night. And he signs it for me. And I was like, dude. And I didn't know who he was again. Still, I'm a little kid. And then like 3 years later, I'm like, that
Mr.
Was cool.
October.
That was awesome.
We have an anonymous phone call on line one. This is Douglas the intern. I don't know who it is, who has hatred in his heart and wants to know how he can be healed from his hatred for you. I'm just kidding.
You're just joking. You're just kidding with me.
It's okay, Doug. It's
yeah,
okay.
But I have this Yankees hat that's got the 96 World Series emblem on it, and I've got like Jeter's signature on there, Daryl Strawberry. I've got the whole 96 Yankees team on there.
That's amazing. Hatred burning in his heart. Anger. You don't even care for it like he would. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700.
Do you want to know the worst part about it? So so I'm a kid, obviously, and I have this hat.
Of course.
I don't really care. So I wear the hat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for about a year.
Yeah.
So about half the signatures are like halfway rubbed off because of sweat from the bill of the hat. So that's the worst part about that story.
You're like, I think that's Joe Girardi,
that's
John Leyritz.
Scribble right there.
Or was it Jim Leyritz? I don't remember. He was like the catcher for a little while.
Well, it was a combination of errors. One, I had him sign it with a pen, not a Sharpie.
Ah.
And then I wore it.
Nice.
So.
Nicely done.
Hey.
We got a handful of emails.
What you get
emails.
For stupid kids.
Hey, come on now.
Dude.
I mean, that's not stupid.
If Jack did that to an entire 2003
Truth.
Angels signed hat, what would you do?
Brody, right now, we have a basketball on display in our house that Nene signed. He was the center for the Nuggets for a while, Nuggets fans, and he went off to the Wizards. And he's doing awesome in the playoffs. I love Nene. He signed a basketball for our kids, and Brody right now is like running around. He keeps dribbling it, and I'm like, okay. But I don't know what to
do. Okay.
2003. I know.
Angels World Series hat signed by the entire team.
That'd be cool. I do have my Tim Salmon autograph ball that I won't let anybody touch.
Okay.
I would lose it.
So what would happen if you saw like that hat?
See, my kids, even though they're young, I guess my kids are more geniuser than you because they have a signed jersey with Torrey Hunter, Peter Borges, Luis Jimenez, and they refuse to like wear/watch them. So they put them on hangers and they're like hanging in their room. Like they won't do it. I think Luke wore his Torrey Hunter signed hat once and then was like, no, you know, it's too special. Mm. So. Not too special. He couldn't do it after that. So
yeah,
that's okay. You were a kid, and it's the Yankees. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool when I was a kid.
Now that we wasted the first 10 minutes of show on baseball,
it wasn't wasted.
Did I say
that
wasted?
We invested.
That was beautiful.
We invested the first 10 minutes.
You're welcome.
Of the show.
You're welcome. We got a handful of email questions, so I guess we should probably start getting to real show.
Yeah, and all Mateo's, right. I don't know, he's like pooping or something.
Yeah, there you go. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio, studio@MyStaticRadio.com, or give us a call. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700.
Did we answer this one from I don't know if we did. I'll ask it, and if we answered it, you can tell me and say no, and I'll read another one. Hey there. Recently, I've had a friend who I grew up with come out of the closet. Spiritually, he's been in battle. He prays and reads the Bible dutifully and talks to God. I asked him how he felt about the Bible saying in more than one place. I think we did read this one, didn't we?
Okay.
Did we? Were you paying attention?
Yeah.
Were you listening?
Yeah.
Did we read this one?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, next one.
Okay, next. Last week's podcast, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylife. Okay, moving on.
I have a question for Nate and Steve-O.
Yeah.
My question. Would call, but running into appointment. Okay.
Okay.
I was like, that's not a question. Okay. Have a family member who has struggled with homosexuality and is now living in it. He is currently living with his partner, and after our discussion has fallen back on once saved, always saved, and choosing to continue down this path. How can I talk to him?
Mm. Okay. I mean, that's interesting, because that's kind of like the question that we had last time. It's interesting how this is becoming a common theme, the idea of living a lifestyle, not even just homosexuality. Maybe you have an addiction that you're like, you know what, I'm just going to succumb to this because this is my lifestyle, this is how I roll, don't mind drinking myself to death, God loves me. I'm saved.
Yeah, a lot of people use that excuse, the once saved, always saved, as an excuse to sin.
Right.
But again, this is something we've talked about on numerous times on this show, that salvation isn't just going forward, saying a prayer,
right.
And then all of a sudden, cool, that was fire insurance, you're never going to go to hell, so now do whatever you want. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches about justification and sanctification.
Yeah.
You know, justification, again, is that act where you come and you say a prayer, you accept Christ into your life and you're forgiven, but then begins the process of sanctification where you're continually giving over the things of your heart, the sins of your life over to God and letting Him cleanse those things. And if that's not taking place in your life, then salvation isn't true. It would be like the parable that Jesus told of the seeds being sown, some on rocky soil, some in a place where there was thorns and the thorn bush choked out those fresh seedlings. And so there's that whole entire concept that just because you said a prayer and you went down to the front of the church doesn't mean that all of a sudden your life is marked by salvation. Your life has to be marked by sanctification.
Yeah, it's always, man, that's one that I struggled with for a long time in my early 20s because, you know, when I was 6 years old, I was at a little Salty convention and there were some crazy clowns on stage and Salty was there. I came forward, I said the prayer, I gave my life to Christ. Or at least my 6 years of life, you know. And, yet it seemed like in middle school, every 3 weeks or so, I felt the need to go forward again. And then in high school, it seemed like every week I was the guy that raised my hand rededicating my life. And so it's an interesting question that thankfully doesn't have to be asked. If I had died, then would I have gone to heaven? I don't know. This process is a, as you said, it's just that. It's a process, you know, cause in my 20s, I feel I truly, quote unquote, dedicated my life to the Lord.
Yeah.
But I'm not perfect. I have made some really, really, really idiotic choices since then. At times, even walking in stupid sin. Did it mark my life? Am I marked by that? No, because I know that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I know it is a process. But all that being said, I just... These questions I always have a hard time with. We've had conversations about this recently, actually, you and me.
I'm back.
Yeah, man.
I think this is tough because without grace, then we've got nothing. But if you're using grace as an excuse to sin, then God is not your God. You are your God.
Yeah.
So I don't subscribe to the lose your salvation thing because I think if you could lose your salvation, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Because you didn't do anything.
Right.
So, you know, and it says that nothing can separate. But at the same time, like,
but if
I don't
you've
know.
Never really, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what it, traditionally, that's what I always had, like, growing up Baptist, that's what was, well, if you can do that, then you wasn't truly saved.
Right, exactly. You know, and that's what they'll say. They'll take you to 1 John and say, well, obviously there were some that, among that just were never really saved.
Yeah.
And so, to point to the fact that you can't lose your salvation, those people who didn't really lose it, they just never really
had
it.
They just never had it.
And so, it's one of those, questions where, well, this has been a theological debate for a very, very long time. But the heart of it is this. There is a human being living in sin, outright, blatantly saying, hey,
I know I'm in sin,
I know
but
I'm in sin,
I was saved, so I'm fine.
But I'm okay because God covers
this
that.
I think 1 John is the best book that I love to go to for people that think that they can just, you know, say a prayer and then
live
they can just
they
live
want.
How they want, you know. And this is where it says it. 1 John chapter 2, it says, now by this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments.
Yeah.
He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him.
Yeah.
By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walk. So, I mean, there's this strong call that if we call ourselves Christians, we are supposed to live according to what God has said.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to fall down sometimes.
Right, because in that same book, it's like, hey, if you say you have no sin, you are
you're a
freaking
liar.
Yeah,
so,
the truth isn't in you.
It goes both ways.
Yeah.
But there's this concept that your life will not be marked, according to 1 John, by walking in darkness.
Yeah.
But your life will be marked by walking in light.
Yeah.
And you know, so again, it continues on in verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. And so there's this concept that you can say, oh yeah, I'm in the light, but if your life isn't showing that you're walking in the light, then you're not in the light. You're right. in the darkness. And the, John even further clarifies it in letting us know that there's some people who can claim to be Christians that can walk away, and they were never of us from the beginning. He says in verse 9, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Yeah. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Yeah. So he continues on that it's very possible for some who claim that they are of us are really not of us.
Yes.
And so I think that that's the clarification here.
Yeah.
We believe in the principle that if you truly are saved and if salvation really has taken root in you, then you're always going to be saved. Nothing can snatch you out of the hand of God.
Right.
But the way Jesus describes it, you know, again in the parable of the seeds being sown, is that there are some who never really took the proper root in the first place because they were either on the wrong soil, they were either strangled out by the thorns that were on that path as well, or they were trampled out. And so you can appear that you can have taken root, but you can have never really taken root.
And maybe if you're needing comfort in this moment, because we're talking about your loved one possibly never being saved, I want to give you some encouragement that God says he is the author. He is the author. He is the perfecter of our faith. There was a time in my life where I was living in outright sin, going through my high school life saying, yeah, I love Jesus, and rededicating my life what seemed like every single week. And I was blatantly sleeping with my girlfriend, walking in sin, and going, yeah, but he loves me. He's going to forgive me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? God never gave up and just gave me over to my evil desires and said, you know what? I'm through with this idiot. He has done this 147,000 times. I'm through with him. He never gave up. And I praise God for that. And I also thank God for my mother, who never stopped praying for me, and those in my life who said, no, dude, there's a different way. Mm-hmm. And so if you're looking for encouragement, know this, that God is the author, the perfecter. We can't say whether or not your brother is saved right now. We really can't. It doesn't seem that way because he's walking in darkness.
Now, but you know, at the same time, I think a lot of times we need to stop ourselves because a lot of times we'll look at someone, we'll say, man, we can't really judge them and tell if they're really saved or not.
Yeah.
But the Bible clearly tells
us
to look at the lives of believers, not of unbelievers. Look at the lives of believers and to judge them according to their works. The Bible tells us to do that because it says that we could save someone from hellfire.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we see our brother falling, we are called to let him know, hey, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're not going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible calls us to do that because we want to be able to look at the lives of a believer and say, hey, that doesn't match up with what you say.
Right.
You got to straighten up.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to where you think you're going.
Right.
And so, you know, we're called to do that, to see a brother who is stuck in sin, to pray for them, to help them, to pull them out of that area lovingly, not in anger or, you know, calling them out and saying, you're a horrible person, but lovingly pull them out and say, hey, you've got to fix your life.
Yeah.
You know, again, when I was referencing 1 John, there's an even scarier verse. And, you know, right here you say, how can I talk to him?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best way to talk to a guy like this is with the Bible, because you can't use your own views. You can't say, man, well, I just really don't like homosexuality. You've got to use what the Bible says. And so, again, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 gives us a very scary verse. And I'm going to read it to you. Then I'm going to give you a little bit of insight into what it really means.
Do you want scary music?
No, that'll take away the importance of the verse.
The scariness of it.
Maybe like Margaritaville or something.
Oh my God.
You have that?
That really takes away the gravity
of the situation.
Okay, then I won't. No sound effects.
Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God.
Yeah.
Now we look at that and say, crap, we're all going to hell.
Right.
But I want to clarify that. The word right. sin there doesn't mean what we think. Like, okay, he who, you know, says he's a Christian and then walks down the street and stubs his toe and says the F word is going to hell.
Right.
That's not what that means.
Right.
The word sin there in the Greek is a continuing verb. When it says sin, it speaks of a continual action. So it speaks of a habitual action. So it's really saying he who is habitually sinning,
walking
in sin, does not know God, has not seen him,
and that's a good
does not know him.
Because it's terrifying to think, like, you know what I mean? Because just before that, this is where some people will say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. It says that, you know, he who is without sin is a liar.
Yeah. Or you'll get,
so we're all sinners.
Or you'll get the other end of the spectrum, which is the holiness gospel, which
right.
is like, you have
right.
to be perfect,
right.
and if you're not, then you're going to hell.
Yeah. So I love the way the Message, I think the Message really, really beautifully clarifies this verse of what it really means. And so the Message says, all who indulge in a sinful life are dangerously lawless, for sin is a major disruption of God's order. Surely you know that Christ showed up in order to get rid of sin. There is no sin in him, and sin is not part of his program. No one who lives deeply in Christ makes a practice of sin. None of those who do practice sin have taken a good look at Christ. They've got them all backwards. So my dear children, don't let anyone divert you from the truth. It's the person who acts right who is right. Just as we see it lived out in our righteous Messiah, those who make a practice of sin are straight from the devil, the pioneer in the practice of sin. The Son of God entered the scene to abolish the devil's ways. And so I think that clarifies it. Those who practice sin.
Yeah.
Because the Bible talks about those who practice righteousness and then those who practice sin.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great verse to use with somebody, specifically somebody who knows that they're sinning, but they just write off their sin and say, oh, but I'm always saved. No big deal.
Right.
You know?
That's amazing. We talked about this during Comics Corner this morning with Original Sin, a comic coming from Marvel that's the entirety of it, is sin and the gravity of sin. Because in today's culture, sin has become something that we just kind of knock down as no big deal.
Yeah.
It, whatever. We're all sinners. Oh, yeah, the sin. I'm a sinner. There are T-shirts that boast about it. There are things where they just basically try and redefine sin as not a big deal. It was such a big deal that Jesus was crucified. He had to die and shed his blood because it's a pretty big freaking deal. So, to the emailer, thank you for the email. We hope that clarifies things. And, if you would like to chime in, facebook.com/mystaticradio. The phone lines are jammed, but you can still send an email, studio@mystaticradio.com. Let's go out to a caller who, has a comment, if you will, about salvation. Hello!
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Hello!
Hello. So going back to just the grace topic, I know you guys are kind of summing it up, but I think what it comes down to is the fact that nobody is perfect, right? Everybody is going to sin. And even if you are that person that stubs their toe and cusses and you feel like you're such a sinner now, and then you're the person that is habitually sinning like John was talking about, I think ultimately what it comes down to is it's a daily sacrifice.
Yeah.
Grace is a daily struggle. It's a daily thing that we're all susceptible to losing out on grace and losing out on salvation and all that stuff, but you have to know your heart. It's not about public proclamation of Christianity. It's really about, you know, where am I at with God? And if I'm not in the right place with God, then if my daily sacrifice of myself is not enough, then I need to be doing an hourly sacrifice of myself. Like,
right.
You have to know yourself well enough to understand that when you're making mistakes, it's not necessarily meaning that, oh, well, God loves me, it'll be okay, I'll ask for forgiveness later. It ultimately means I need to work hard at it, and if I'm still making mistakes, I need to sacrifice myself more to God.
Yeah.
I need to continually repent and continually sacrifice myself. And just personal experience-wise, I really have found that a daily sacrifice of myself renews my faith on a daily basis, that I can start my day and really see God the way He wants me to see the world. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Totally.
So I walk out on my day and I say, you know what? I may not have sinned horribly bad yesterday. I may not be all these things, but I know I am not a righteous person. I am not going to sit here and lie to God and tell you, I've been so good this week. I've done this. I gave money to the homeless. I've served food, all these things. What it comes down to is I know myself. And for me, I know I'm not perfection. So you know what, God? No, I sacrifice myself today. And then when I start my day, it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, great comment.
That's
Thank
great.
You for the call.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been, you know what the funny thing? I've been kind of dealing with that lately. This just yesterday morning, I was reading because, we are called to renew our minds, and we renew our minds through the Word of God, through prayer. And, yesterday I was digging in and opened to the book of Joshua randomly. And started, I was really reading in there, and I love what was given to me yesterday. The choose this day whom you will serve. Because as she said, we are daily rocking that. And it is a choice every day.
Yeah.
Just because I work in a ministry and we have a great morning show and we get to talk about these things, that isn't salvation.
Yeah.
That in and of itself, that's not, I mean, we can do all these things and as she was saying, give to the homeless and all, but we do have to make that daily commitment.
Yeah.
And as she said, if you know yourself well enough that 6 hours later you need to recommit that,
yeah.
Maybe you have a devotional with you. Maybe you have the word with you to where, you've got these go-to verses. Dawn, when you guys were living with us, she had this thing on our refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And, you guys left it at the house and I've been loving it because every day there's these different life verses that you can go to and have those daily constant reminders. Yesterday I was just going through the list of our identity and how our identity is found in Christ, and there are so many different places where we can have that understanding, and it reinvigorates you, if you will. It rejuvenates your soul when you're constantly in the Word and you have a true understanding of your place and the way that God sees you. So absolutely, you got to be constantly renewing that mind.
Yeah.
So great comment,
man. I've been reading a book really challenging by Craig Groeschel.
Groeschel.
It's called Christian Atheist, and it talks about this syndrome that Christians deal with.
Yeah.
And he talks about atheism. You have two different atheists. You have one atheist who says he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe God exists, and so why should he live according to what God says?
Yeah.
And then you have the Christian atheist who says, I believe in God. I go to church, but they don't live their life like God exists. They
right.
live their life as though he wasn't there. And this is what he says. He says, the more I looked, the more I found Christian atheists everywhere. And he continues on. He says, after over a decade of successful ministry, I had to make a painful self-admission. Although I believed in God, although I was leading his church like God, didn't exist. To Christians and non-Christians alike, to the churched and the unchurched, the journey leading up to my admission and the journey that follows, from my family and my upbringing to the lackluster and even diametrically opposed expressions of faith that I encountered. And so he's talking about this concept of living life like God doesn't exist, even
right.
though you say that he does. And so it's a really powerful concept to talk about there. And Romans chapter 6 talks about that perfectly. Romans 6 says, what then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?
Right.
Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? And so, you know, it talks about this idea, and that verse could almost start out, what then shall we say? Since we've been saved, we're always saved, let's just go ahead and sin. I mean, that's basically what he's saying. What shall we say? That because under grace, we can just sin?
Right.
And no, you know, if we sin, we're slaves to sin, not slaves to God.
Amen. Dude, great comments. If you would like to chime in, phone lines are open. 338-3700, that's 505-338-3700. We got a couple email questions to get to. I got to take a quick break, but coming right back. Man, that is a novel.
Dude,
we're
going to
read
got a
the
couple novels.
That's incredible. So
Jane Eyre coming back.
Coming back with more. It is Shock Therapy Live on Static Radio.
An Iranian pastor currently being held in prison for his Christian faith has undergone numerous difficulties in the past several months. After being sentenced in May 2011 to 6 years in prison, Pastor Behnam Irani was subjected to daily beatings and torture. At the same time, he was suffering from stomach and intestinal problems. He finally underwent an operation in February 2014 to correct the problems.
While recovering from successful surgery, the pastor discovered that secret police had raided his prison cell and seized his Bible as well as other Christian literature. Although religious literature is allowed for prisoners of all faiths, he has not been able to get his Bible or other materials back from authorities.
To learn what it means to serve God in Iran and many other restricted countries, subscribe to the Voice of the Martyrs free monthly newsletter at 800-75-VOICE. That's 800-75-VOICE. Call 800-75-VOICE. The Voice of the Martyrs is a Christian nonprofit organization.
Life, death, sex, and romance. Maybe the most misunderstood topics in the world. The air is polluted with misinformation that can ruin lives. We need fresh air, and the O2 Experience is coming. The O2 Experience with Levi Lusco is coming to Calvary, Albuquerque. Straight talk about life, death, sex, and romance from Levi Lusco.
Purity and a sexual smog. We live in a culture where we're surrounded by a toxic, by a poisonous smog of immorality, of impurity.
O2 Experience. The message is fresh. Admission is free. The O2 Experience with Levi Lusco is coming to Albuquerque. Tuesday, May 20th at Calvary Albuquerque. 7 p.m. Admission is free.
Just like our bodies need oxygen. Our bodies don't just like oxygen. Our bodies need oxygen to survive. So our souls need sexual purity.
O2Experience.com.
O2Experience.com.
It's time to go on an adventure with Bible Island's Jungle Safari Vacation Bible School. Get ready for an amazing week-long adventure exploring the nature of God and discovering His Word through worship, drama, recreation, and crafts. Bible Island's Jungle Safari VBS is just $10 per child, June 23rd through the 27th at Calvary, Albuquerque. Registration is due by June 8th. For more information, contact Bible Island at 344-4101.
Hey, this is Pastor Dave with Agents for Christ, and you're listening to Evangelism Minute. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." You know, in some ways, evangelism can be viewed as warfare. When we share God's saving message with people, there's a war going on in the heavens. Our main weapon is God's Word. It can pull down the strongholds of addiction, depression, or hopelessness. It can also cast down the arguments of atheism, false religion, and other deceptive worldviews. You know, there's a spiritual war going on, and there are many POWs out there. So pick up the sword of the Spirit and watch God use you to set people free. For more evangelism resources, go to GotTracts.com. That's GotTracts.com. And remember, be bold, share your faith.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back. Therapy Live.
We're here.
I'm glad we
haven't left yet.
I'm glad you guys haven't bailed on me, man.
Hey,
right?
Man.
What if we just left and made Matt do it? Hey, Matt.
That would be the most interesting shock therapy. I probably would get fined. Is the difference? That commercial wouldn't apply to me. It'd be like, and then he got fined again.
And then he got fined again. And then one more time.
Speaking of cursing and getting fined, we've got some email questions to get to. What? What does that mean? Well, you got to stick around. Studio at mystaticradio.com is the email address, or you can give us a call. Our producer hanging out, patiently waiting for your phone calls. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. What do we got in the emails?
Yeah, we got an interesting one here. I don't think we've ever answered a question like this before, so it's
cool.
Kind of fun.
All right.
I have a question that I wonder about every day, and I'm so confused.
Dun, dun, dun.
I thought I would get your view on it, as you base everything you say on the Bible, and I may have missed something.
Maybe not everything I say. There's some times where I say some really
idiotic
things.
Yeah, I agree. I'm in that boat, too.
Yeah, so.
I am a Christian and have been for the majority of my life. I'm 19. I am always in His Word, asking for guidance, always living for Him. I love Jesus and accept that He is my Savior. Just thought I would give you some background, as you always ask for it from others. Ha ha.
Nice.
Good call. Good call.
Thank you for that.
Anonymous listener. I am an aspiring actress, and that's why I'm asking this question. Say if I get handed a script for a job where I have to swear or something that isn't right in God's eyes. I don't know what to do, because the majority of films, TV shows, and other things have things in them that are just not holy. I'll obviously pray for God's guidance, but I'm not entirely sure on what He would think. As an actress, you are not you, and you take on a different character to portray a story. However, the script might include me having to swear or something. I have firm beliefs and morals from the Bible and stand firm on God's word, but this is a tough one. Sad face. Please, could you give me your views and ideas to ponder on? Thanks so much.
Man, that's a good one.
That's a tough question.
Right. I remember I was doing a table reading a long time ago. Now, I didn't get to see it. We did a screener, and Mateo and I were doing the morning show, so everybody else got to see Persecuted. And I was like, cool, man. You suck. I didn't get to see it. So I don't know. Is there language in Persecuted?
I don't think so. There's okay. not. I think Daniel actually took it out for that reason.
Yeah, because we did a table reading, and the character I was reading, he was one of the antagonists, and he cursed a few times. And I was so awkwardly sitting there, and it was like, just go, you know, just, you know, you're reading a script. And read it, and it was like, all right, there's language. And it was like, well, this is the antagonist, and this is the part, and this is the, you know. But obviously it has since been cut because... I guess maybe through conversation, through whatever.
Yeah.
It was probably taken out.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting question.
I have a hard time with this one.
Well, I think of Sonny from POD.
Yeah.
Who Murdered Love, their last record, came out, and it was a firestorm because the day it released, people went, whoa! Because the last track on the record... there's an F-bomb. Now, it's kind of censored out. It's like, you know, but it's still stated. And so we actually had Sonny on the morning show that morning, called him up and was like, bro, you have to speak to this because people are losing their minds. And he spoke to it, and it was that artistic moment. He prayed before. He prayed with many friends, talked with the band, and it was something that he believed was supposed to happen. And now that was an extreme moment, man. And I remember when it happened, people were furious. Mm. People couldn't believe that Sonny cussed. In fact, Daniel, our operations manager now, he at the time was at another kind of alternative rock station, and they pulled all POD after that because they just couldn't justify playing a band that drops an F-bomb on a record, and so they didn't condone it, and they pulled him. Now, Static Radio were a different animal. Mm-hmm. We played other songs. We did not play that song, obviously. We played other songs from POD. I do believe Sonny is a believer from what I know of him and the conversations we've had. And, you know, we could say, oh, his work with the Whosoevers, whatever. His heart, I don't know, but I do know him well enough to say I believe, from my perspective, my vantage point, he is a believer.
Yeah.
Dude dropped an F-bomb. That was a gnarly situation. You look at Bono.
Yeah.
You can look at different artists who say for artistic integrity.
I think this is where I have a hard time. You know, for artistic integrity, I think that's a bunch of bull.
Right. Bunch of bull what?
Right? So this is where I have a hard time with it because, you know, there's some... this is the hard thing with language. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Language is bad in other cultures where it's not in, you know, in the UK, you'll hear a Christian drop the F-bomb, big deal, whatever.
Dude, they have, if you go play festivals in Germany, they have shirts at the Christian festivals that say F Satan, and they sell them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody wears them, and it's not a big deal
at all.
And
everybody's also walking around drinking beer like
and
it's
so,
no big deal.
So
it's
this is where I think the concept is. This is one of those things that, you know, if you feel that it's wrong to you, you shouldn't do it.
Absolutely.
And so I feel like there's some Christian actors that might not have a big deal, you know, dropping an F-bomb on a TV show or on a movie or saying a bad word. But I think if you are looking at it and you're having a spiritual hang-up with it and you're having a hard time, you know, looking at that situation and justifying it as a Christian, then it's probably something that you shouldn't do.
Yeah, now I'm sure there are people listening probably going, no, compromise. You're compromising your beliefs by cursing. On the flip side, I think of Kirk Cameron, who refuses to on-screen kiss anyone but his wife. Mm. So in all of his films, for all the kissing scenes,
it's his wife.
She's
there's
the
a bunch of actors that do that.
Yeah,
Chris Hemsworth for Thor,
right?
One of the scenes was his actual wife.
That's not awesome. Natalie Portman. Yeah.
I'd love to take line one. I've got my buddy Daniel Lusco who called in.
Yes.
I really want to get his take on this. Daniel, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey,
Daniel,
buddy.
What's up, man?
Hey, not much. I'm just on a hike with my dog.
Oh, very nice. On a hike with a German Shepherd. That sounds like a beautiful morning.
Does that dog have a shirt that says...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. So
it's German.
Daniel, okay, here's the deal, man. Perfect person to talk to because I was actually mentioning persecuted.
Let me read the question to him.
Yes.
Okay, Daniel, so we got a question from a lady who wrote into Shock Therapy Live, and I want to read it to you, and I want to get your take on it as a filmmaker, as someone in Hollywood who's a strong believer in Christ, and hear what you have to say. So here's her question. I am a Christian and have been for the majority of my life. I'm always in His Word, asking for guidance, always living for Him. I love Jesus and I've accepted Him as my Savior. I am an aspiring actress, and that's why I'm asking this question. Say if I get handed a script for a job where I have to swear or do something that isn't right in God's eyes. I don't know what to do, because the majority of films and TV shows have things in them that are just not holy. I'll obviously pray for God's guidance, but I'm not entirely sure what He would think as an actress. You're not you, and you take on a different character to portray, a story. However, the script might include me having to swear or do something that would be wrong in God's eyes. I am firm in my beliefs and morals in the Bible, but this is a very tough one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I would say is I think you should first really consider what particular opportunity you're being considered for, and whether that's something you want to commit yourself to, because if there's something objectionable within the audition period, then it's certainly only going to grow from there. And you're really kind of being introduced to a sample of what there is. So first, you'd want to really consider that. But the second thing is, you know, I wouldn't say that it's totally accurate that a majority of movies and shows, I think there's a fair amount and a growing amount of strong faith-based movies. This year has been one of the strongest years in the box office for faith-based films, from Noah to Heaven Is For Real to God's Not Dead. And whatever your opinion is on the content is irrelevant, because movies are successful. There's more that are going to be made. I think there's going to be more options. But really, you know, as a director, as a filmmaker who's auditioned hundreds and hundreds of people, from cast who've come off of Breaking Bad to cast who've worked on the biggest tentpole studio movies, I know that when I bring actors in, I can only speak for myself, I allow them license to experiment and to take ownership of the material of their own. And I think that a director would certainly respect the fact that you take ownership, and if you chose not to use foul language and you're really delivering the goods, I think they're going to want to know more about you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that.
I do too.
I think that's really cool, because I think you can show, I think what you just brought to the table, Dan, is an interesting concept that is not necessarily about the script, but it's about how good the actor is. And if an actor comes in who just shows the chops that, man, they've got it, and they're a better actor than anyone else, and they might refuse to say that F word, it doesn't matter, because you've got so much else to bring to the table as a good actor, as being an exemplary, performance-based actor, that it's not going to matter if you don't want to say that curse word.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And it brings a little something to the table that is probably few and far between in Hollywood. It's called integrity. And so maybe they'll really see something different and go, man, I've never seen this before. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you know, I like that you said that, though. As a director, I know a lot of directors will allow actors to have a little bit of creative liberty with their script.
Yeah.
And so I think if you can show and you can portray what the writer and that director is trying to get through that scene without saying that word, then you're going to be okay in that situation.
Well, that's exactly right. One of the key things that you're looking for as a filmmaker, for any actor, is confidence. Because it doesn't matter, you know, what you're saying, how creative or how interesting you are. If you don't have confidence, like a baseball player or a football player, it doesn't matter how talented you are. So if you're going into that audition not feeling confident because you have to say things that are objectionable or you're going to expose yourself, they're going to sniff that out right away and move on to the next person. Yeah. So whatever you have to do to achieve confidence, if that means restraining yourself from curse words or trying it a few different ways, then I think that would be in your best interest.
Boom.
That's good.
Director Daniel Lusko, thank you so much.
Thanks so much,
man.
Daniel. Incredible. I appreciate it, man.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Enjoy your walk.
Thanks. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. That was our buddy Daniel Lusko. He's directing, producing. He wrote the film The Persecuted that's coming out in June.
Yeah.
Man.
You already saw it.
It's crazy.
Were you in it?
I was in it. I played a small role in it. It was a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Man, if you want more information, make sure to go to their website.
Yeah.
Search, you can just search on Google, Persecuted Movie, and you can get all the information for that. But really excited about that. You know, one thing that I really loved that he brought up there is as an actor or actress, when you're doing a reading for a movie, you can kind of tell what kind of movie it is.
Yeah.
And so if you're doing a reading for a movie where there's like 16 F-bombs, you're going to get a good idea of what kind of a movie that's obviously going to be an R-rated movie. And do you really want to, as an actor or actress, put yourself in that kind of a situation?
Right.
You know, I imagine that when actors did readings for The Wolf of Wall Street, they got a pretty good idea of what kind of movie that was going to be from the reading.
Still haven't seen it. Yeah. And yeah, I don't think that.
Plus, it was an Oliver Stone movie. So if they're just walking into it.
No, Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese, sorry. Walking into it thinking it's going to be different. They're probably
right. No, it's Marty Scorsese. Totally,
it's gonna be
clean.
Deal.
Totally clean, bro. Yeah.
I thought I was doing a reading for Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
This Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe is different than what I remember.
505-3.
Why is the lion doing meth? When did Aslan become a drug addict?
The Wardrobe just chopped that guy's head off.
Oh, man.
And it said an F-bomb while he did it.
When did Mr. Tumnus start committing adultery?
Oh, man, this is awful. It is Shock
Tumnus,
Therapy Live.
You naughty little nymph.
I hope that helps out with the email person. Now, man, we got a novel for the last one.
Yeah.
Oh,
we've got about 10
my
minutes
gosh.
Left the show. Do you think we'll get through the email?
I think we should just do like a sum up and then go to the question.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So basically this chick, she's under 30.
Uh-huh.
She gets invited to go to this lady's house. She goes to the lady's house and the lady is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
All right.
Okay. She's crazy.
We're talking crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
she calls herself a minister. She calls herself a minister. She starts calling her friends goddesses. She says she boycotts Hobby Lobby because they won't fund birth control. She's weird. So they start getting into conversation. They disagree. This lady feels super awkward for being there.
Yeah.
And then this lady, Janice, invites her again to another party. She says, hey, I'm having a goddess party.
Mm.
Okay, what's a goddess party?
Mm.
I'm not sure. But she basically says, I'm going to have a bunch of friends over. We're going to eat. We're going to watch movies. We're going to dress in pajamas. We're going to eat a bunch of things that are purple. I don't know why that's strange.
Really?
Yeah, literally it says they're going to eat a bunch of purple food.
Really?
Super weird.
Crap up in the
she
corner.
Might be Jim Jones' wife, and you might not want to drink the Kool-Aid when you go to her house.
Right!
But anyways, so she explains this party, and basically her question comes in here. She says, would it be wrong for me to go to the party? I dare say that I wouldn't feel comfortable if they did something strange and I'd leave on the spot. Do I have any influence at all in her life? This is the only reason I would chance on going, to be a light. Should I go? What do you guys think? How do we as Christians interact with unbelievers on their turf?
Mm.
So this is a really good question. This really goes to the age-old question, how can we be in the world but not of the world?
Yeah.
And honestly, I think to the person who wrote this in, you kind of hit it on the dot in that you said, if I felt uncomfortable, I'd leave on the spot. And I think that's a good place to go. I think, honestly, I look at something like this and I'd say, man, you know what? Maybe it would be good for you to go to the party. As long as you're not going to indulge in anything wrong that they're doing. You know, a lot of people will go to parties and say, oh, I'm going to be in the world but not of the world. But then you're going to that party and you're doing all the drugs, you're doing all the drinks,
yeah.
You're sleeping with all the girls, and you're like, oh, man, I'm a light. No, you're not a light.
You're in the yard throwing up.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think that in a situation like that, you go to one of these parties with the expectation that you're not going to indulge in what they're doing, but you're going to go to be a light. You're going to go for a purpose. And if at any point you feel uncomfortable or feel like you're being pushed into a situation where you're going to be dishonoring God, then you leave.
Yeah.
And so I think you brought up a really good point there to the person who wrote this email, that I think it probably would be a good idea to maybe go with the opportunity, maybe talk to her and be a light.
Yeah.
But if you feel uncomfortable, if you feel, you know, like you're not honoring God with anything that's going on in that party, then you just leave.
Yeah.
That's where I would land on that.
Man.
I wonder too, because it sounds like she's going to be uncomfortable the whole time.
Well, and if you've already experienced the uncomfortableness of her home and being there, and you just wanted to get out the whole time, and your discernment alarms are freaking you out, and you should get out of there, why would you revisit that though?
But here's
like,
a hard.
Why would you go back?
But here's
she
a hard
wants
time.
To be alive.
I imagine that when Paul was walking through a temple full of false gods, there had to be an element of, man, I feel uncomfortable being
yeah,
there.
Yeah, definitely.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So I think there's a lot of situations where God is called us to go into where we feel uncomfortable. And if we base, you know, whether it's right or wrong off of our comfort level, I think that that's a tricky line, because it's like, yeah, man, I feel really uncomfortable talking to all these goths.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah,
here's
so
the deal.
Would I, but,
if Triple
you know,
X Church called and said, hey man, we're going to do an event in Albuquerque at a porn convention, you think you can hang? Probably not. Yeah. I would be very uncomfortable, and I would steer away, because I know me, I know my eyeballs, and I know that I just couldn't hang in that situation. Now we're talking about pornography here, but I just think there's this, that's a scary line, because if your discernment is going off.
Yeah, I feel like the marker, but talking about a porn convention, it would cause you to sin being there, Steve-O.
Yeah,
you know, because
true.
You could see things that would cause you to literally sin.
Yeah.
I don't see anything within this email that her being there would cause her to sin. It would just have her feeling uncomfortable, like, man, I don't like these
people.
That's a good point. I don't like the situation. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we don't want to be someplace, but it still might be beneficial for us to be there, as long as it's not causing you to sin. So I feel like if it takes you to a place where, like, hey, okay, we're going to pull out the Ouija board, and we're all going to put our hands on the Ouija board, and, you know, we want to talk to, I don't know, some crazy goddess from the past.
So in that
then
moment,
it gets
you say,
weird.
Wait, but what if instead we talk to Samuel? There you go. And then you've made it biblical.
Oh, my God.
Right? Right? No, okay. That's never happened. That's
crazy.
Never happened to me. No, I get what you're saying, though, Nate. That's true, because two different situations, definitely. Is this going to lead this girl to sin, or is she just going to be uncomfortable? That's
now,
something to pray about.
We have somebody on line one who has definitely been in uncomfortable situations before and put himself out there. So let's get some expertise, if you will. Shane.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Hey, man. A couple things, dude. One, I feel like first of all, it's not for her to, and I mean this with all due respect, the Holy Spirit, you know, convicts people, you know, and right? I mean, so for me, I'm thinking two things. One, if she feels uncomfortable enough to write into you guys to ask this question, then it's probably not for her. You know, for one, that's just off the cuff, because there is a potential for this situation to be dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, and to Steve-O's point, if initially there was an opportunity to be the light and it was rejected to the point where she feels like she didn't want to be a part of a relationship in any way, shape, or form with that individual, I think putting herself in a position with a group of people that are like-minded in a situation where, you know, yeah, it's easy to say from the outside looking in, hey, I'll just get up and walk out of the situation. But all too often in life, those options go out the window, and potentially you don't have that choice to make.
Mm.
And I think that's a, you know, as far as personal safety, there are great ways in which and great situations in which we can serve. But I think we got to be really careful when we're talking about somebody's safety and going into their environment where there are no guarantees. So that was just a red flag, something that I was thinking about.
Yeah. So now
this lady
who wrote in, apparently in her first interaction with this lady, was very outspoken about what she believed, and she took a firm stand for what she believed. So at one point in her email, she basically says, I figured I'd never be invited back, but she kept me at her house for a long time liking my company, and now she's inviting me to a get-together. So apparently this lady, you know, when this crazy lady was sharing her views, this Christian who's writing in was very opinionated, saying, no, I disagree. I think that's wrong. And she really shared what she believed and what was right. And so she really did have the opportunity to share the truth. She didn't just, you know, stay quiet and sit there.
Right.
She was very outspoken about, no, I believe this. Even to the point where she said, man, I thought I'd never be invited back because of how outspoken I was for what I believe. So there is a unique opportunity.
And I think that's awesome. You know, I would say, okay, so I would say this. I would just say, you know, when somebody invites me back and I've made my point clear, my point was made. You know what I mean? Her point's been made. You know, if she did that, you know, and I believe that she did, then she's done what she's, you know what I mean? She's done what she was supposed to do in that situation. I would just say, to me, a word of caution, when somebody invites you, okay, so I was really surprised that they invited me back. Well, the stage is set for something. whether that's a conversation or whatever it is, the stage is set, and that's fine. But there may be a safer place in which to have those conversations, and there may be, you know, and to this point, I mean, and nothing against her personally, but again, when I have questions that are biblical, I mean, you know, I can only speak to my own situations and what I have to offer.
Yeah.
In my experiences, when it comes to scripture, I'm going to confer. You know, I'm going to yield to the professional. You know, a pastor. You know, like you, and say, hey, you know what? You're qualified to speak on these things, whether it's apologetics, what have you. So, you know, I would just ask, you know, her to just reconsider. And if she feels convicted, and it's truly the Holy Spirit that's placed this on her heart, to be safe and maybe take somebody with her,
that's
so
good.
That she's not potentially putting herself in a situation that she may want out of and not have the opportunity to leave.
Yeah, I like that idea, Shane. I think you just brought in something that we hadn't thought about before. Maybe bringing another Christian friend with her. Maybe telling this lady, "Hey, I'd love to come, but I'd really love to bring my friend with me."
Yeah.
You know, she's really cool. I think that's a great thing because there is that. You know, it sounds like the situation that she'd be going into wouldn't be an unsafe situation.
Yeah.
It would just be an awkward situation.
Yeah.
You know, so reading the email, it sounds like the situation she'd be going into would just be maybe something where she's like, "Man, I don't really want to hang out with these people, but I kind of feel like I should because I have an opportunity to share the gospel with them." So, but
totally.
I think that's a great point there. Maybe ask a friend to go with you.
On the flat, I've seen so many horror movies where the vampires start off inviting you over with cool things. Next thing you know, you're zombie food!
Yes. You have
and
to,
you're
right.
dead!
Are you going to invite me in?
You have to go into their house or invite them into your house. That's a rule.
I'm trying to give a serious, legitimate heads up. You're probably hanging out with vampires. You're going to die. Don't go.
She said
what,
purple.
No garlic with the spaghetti?
I'm just saying, yeah, wild purple things.
You need to take heavy garlic dishes.
Yes. It was
a sign. Silver.
Yep.
They are purple people eaters.
Yes. Silver jewelry.
That was the hint.
Bring garlic dip. If they won't let you in with the garlic dip, you know you shouldn't go.
All right.
Yep. I love you, my brother.
Love you too, bro.
Love you too, bro.
All right, there we go. We are out of show. Hopefully that helps the purple people eaters.
Shocking.
Fun.
Shocking therapy, guys.
Show.
Shocking therapy.
If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. This will re-air in its entirety Sunday night during Static U. Check out the full lineup of Static U at mystaticradio.com. And again, thanks to everybody who chimed in. Great show.
Yeah. Good times, great oldies.
Big 98.5. All right. Well, we're out. Until next week. Hey, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for not giving me a hat.
Happy early birthday.
You're welcome.
I still love you.
Yeah.
All right. Until
Peace.
Then. All right.
Bye.
Next year, I'll be in a year older.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.